First of all, I want to thank you for coming up here today, because there has been a lot of focus on gun violence within our country. But my bill focuses on some of the things that are happening in my own area. This is also a local issue. Lots of people like to say that gun violence is a national, a federal issue, but it is also a state and local issue. Not only do I serve as a senator, but I also am a school board member in University City. And I want to let you know that it's time that we finally address what is going on in our urban core. That is what is lacking in the conversation overall. In my district alone, in the last 8 months, we've had 12 incidences of young children in the urban core who have had dealings with guns. We had a 12-year-old who killed another 12-year-old because he took the gun that was not stored from his grandfather. That was 3 days before Connecticut. 2 days after Connecticut, we had a 17-year-old gang member who decided to kill another 17-year-old who was in our alternative school and trying to do the best job that he could to have a life and get back on track. This is an issue for all of us to be concerned about. What my bill deals with is three things, basically. Parents need to be involved. They must be involved. As we deal with the issues of the urban core, one of the things you need to know is that many of these situations derive because parents are not storing their guns, period. And so my bill addresses that. We must ensure that parents are responsible for proper storage of their bills, of their guns. The other thing that this bill does is that it also creates the offense of negligent storage. And it requires the parent or the guardian to tell the school if they have a gun. So what is happening in our communities? One of which is we have several students, several young people who have decided to get involved in gangs and are also involved in burglaries. So what happens in those burglaries? You have an illegal possession of a gun. A young person takes that gun and goes to school or to another place in the community and shoots another person. Just this weekend, we had a basketball game in the Riverview School District, and there was a young man who was shot right afterwards, right after the game. This weekend, I did a ride-along with the St. Louis County Police and found that not only are there many of our students who are engaged in violent activities through gangs or otherwise, but also they told me that we need to address parental involvement. It is lunacy that there are parents that are out there who know that their children own guns and they say nothing about it. Let me say that again. There are parents who are out there in our urban areas who know their children possess guns, either because they're involved in gang activity or because they're just getting involved in the wrong activities in general. And it's time to say to those parents who know their children have illegal guns in their possession, we're not accepting it anymore. Every single child's life is valuable. There is not one child who has a greater value than any other child. Every child's life is valuable. And so I understand that the governor or the president did his executive order yesterday, and I'm very happy about that. I know that we have legislation that's in the House, but neither one of those measures deal with what is happening in our urban cities. There is a 17-year-old who lives only about a mile from my house who decided to burglarize some other person on the same street and took 3 to 4 firearms. Luckily, we knew, or that child was caught. Luckily, that child was caught. But what would happen if that 17-year-old decided to backlash, or decided to do something to someone else that would put someone in a really vulnerable position and die? That's not acceptable. So this bill is not addressing high-capacity magazines or clips. It is not addressing Bushmasters. It's not addressing AK-47s or clips. It's not doing that at all. What it's saying is we want the community to be safe, our schools to be safe. We want every single child to have the ability and the capacity to learn in their classrooms. Just last year in University City, we had a young man who brought in a gun into the school. Luckily, we found out. We've had two deaths, as I mentioned before, in December around Connecticut. So while I appreciate the national conversation, I want to bring attention to what is happening in our urban cities. That is the void in the national conversation. Now, this is not a perfect piece of legislation. It is a start. And I'm glad that each and every single one of you is here today because you are helping us address the issues in the urban cities. We all know about what happened last week at Stevens College. We all know about that. We all know that it's been in the press. We know what happened yesterday in Houston. How many times is this going to happen? How many times? All I'm asking for is the ability for communities, local communities, to have the ability to promote safety. We are not trying to take away anyone's gun, period. We're not even asking what kind of gun you have. What we're saying is, if you are parent X, we would like to know as a school district that you have a gun. Now, what this does is, it allows one, the school district, to know this information. If the child of parent X is in a situation where he or she is being bullied, and the school district has to respond to that bullying, we don't want that child that's being bullied to go home and think, let's go get a gun and resolve the issue. We want the school district to be able to say, you know what, there are some really terrible things that are going on right now, and we need to talk to the parent who we know they have a gun and make sure there is security, that this gun is stored securely. But it also does this. If parent X has a gun and they go on vacation and there is a burglary in that house, not only are they going to be inclined to tell local law enforcement, but I pretty much think that they're going to be inclined to also tell the school district that, hey, look, my gun was stolen. That's a really important point. You know, there are a lot of calls that I've been getting from, you know, the right, the people who believe in the Second Amendment. I want to be clear, I believe in the Second Amendment wholly. I wholly believe in the Second Amendment, that everyone should have the right to bear arms. But the Second Amendment does not say that a 12-year-old can shoot a 12-year-old. There's no protection for that. And so what we are trying to do here is address what is happening in our urban cities. And that is what is paramount. I'm, again, glad that you're here so you can talk about our issues, the 12 children who have been engaged in gun violence and who are in gangs. We have a large number of children who are involved in gangs, not in high school, but this is starting in middle school. And so now we are in an effort to try and make sure we talk to our kids in fifth grade instead of 10th grade about how bad violence is and how you should not be part of violence and try to have a better life. I did my ride along with St. Louis County this weekend, and it opened my eyes. The police officers that I was with, they stated that there is a lack of parental involvement, period. There is a lack of parental involvement, and something has to be done about that. On Monday or on Tuesday, I met with Hawthorne Psychiatric Center that is in my district. It is a place for children who have psychological issues. And I was told that there are kids who are in there who have committed murder. They've committed murder. But there are kids who are not properly found to have mental illnesses prior. And now they're in a facility to get help. I'm glad that we have that in our state, But I also believe two things. And in order to deal with urban violence, two things have to be understood. The first thing that has to be understood is to understand urban violence is poverty. If you don't understand poverty, you're not going to understand violence. The second thing that is very important to us is that we have to, as a state, do a better job with child support services. In the Department of Mental Health and Department of Social Services, we are not working efficiently enough. We're not working together. And so every single child has, hopefully, has a support team. And you get a bunch of people in a circle who are either their psychologist or the person at the facility where they're at. And sometimes they're not talking like they should. Our kids are not getting the services, especially in the urban core. They're not getting the services that they need. I hope that our children don't have to be institutionalized their entire lives. Do you know how much that would cost our state? For a person to be institutionalized from childhood through their adult life. So we need to make sure that as a state, we give resources to our children so that they have a skill set which would be conducive for their overall survival in society, where they do not want to harm another person. And that's what I heard yesterday when I was at Hawthorne Psychiatric Center, is that many of these children have the ability to go into the community, but there are certain things that they have to be given. And I heard frustration in some of our state employees' voices yesterday because we're not doing our best. And one department would say about a 17-year-old who's aging out of one of these facilities, you know, we can't do anything anymore because this child is 18. And then another state facility would say, well, he's 17, he's not prepared to go to, you know, one of our adult psychiatric centers yet. And that's a travesty. We want these children to go out into the community, deal with whether or not they're bipolar, deal with if they are psychotic. But that's not the only issue. That's only one segment of our violence that we're experiencing. The other is poverty and the large number of students. I have a gang member who lives two doors down from my house. And last summer, I went to my neighbor's backyard and saw on the back porch that there was a lot of markings. I didn't even know that it was called markings, but there were markings on my neighbor's back porch, and I didn't understand what it meant. And then one of the names on it said Red Rum. Well, I didn't know. I thought that was his nickname. I didn't know that Red Rum actually meant murder backwards. I had no clue. Did not know that. I thought that was his gang nickname. So then I called my chief of police, and he said that there are people everywhere who are marking, and I didn't know anything about this stuff. But the year prior to me addressing this issue with my neighbor who is underage and in a gang, I found out from his father that he was kicked out of school for a year. So, one, we are failing our kids because we're not addressing their needs in the classroom. We're not allowing them the ability to continue their education. And then all of a sudden, you have a family of people called a gang who decide to say, we will protect you. We will make sure you have resources. We will make sure that you're able to feed your family. And so that child cannot get out of that gang, because when you get out of that gang, then you're the target. Your family's the target, and you get killed. So this is what I'm dealing with. This is what we are dealing with in our urban areas. It is absolutely unacceptable. And again, I'm just glad you're here. I will take questions from you.
Senator, how do you think these new restrictions would actually work? I mean, do you force the parent to be more responsible,
I guess? Well, I should hope so. Every parent should care about their child.
Well, they should, but can legislation force them to?
Absolutely. We do it all the time. There is a bill that was passed by Senator Krause, he was a House member at the time, that dealt with parental involvement. When I go to school board meetings right now, it would be a miracle if there are 10 parents that are still there at the end of the session of a school board meeting. What I am saying in this legislation, if you own a gun, I'm not demonizing you. If you own a gun, because I believe in the Second Amendment wholly. What I'm saying is we want to encourage you as a community and as a school district to have the proper storage in your house of a gun. So the 12-year-old who killed a 12-year-old, grandpa left the gun out. Grandpa just left the gun out. Kid was able to get it. You know, if we don't take measures into our own hands, you know, who's going to do it? So, and I don't think that grandpa, you know, wanted his grandson to kill another 12-year-old, because now he's going to be institutionalized in jail or otherwise. You know, so I just want to encourage other people to be responsible. The school district can do it. The community can do it. If there's anything that happens at the school district will know automatically. We need to highlight the proper storage of a gun. We do not want to demonize anyone at all, but we need to have a safe, conducive environment where every single child has the ability to learn and not live in fear.
There's a lot of Second Amendment supporters who think that the language of the amendment that says shall not be abridged means no regulations of any kind, and you're suggesting some regulations. You're suggesting that these people essentially register their guns with the school district by telling them that they have some. How do you answer those folks who say Second Amendment means the government has no business knowing what I got, where I keep it?
Well, simply, the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court establishes certain limits at times. First Amendment is a good example. You know, crying wolf or crying, I don't know what the saying is, but if you're in a crowded room and you yell fire, there are limits that the Supreme Court has always put on certain things. So this would not be any exception.
Mm-hmm. Does your bill define proper storage of firearms?
You know, what our bill does is encourage proper storage. And so I know in the president's executive order, he is, luckily, which is really good about his executive order, he is dealing with other ways we can properly store guns and other firearms. So I'm letting the president deal with that section of it, but we need to deal with what is proper for our local areas.
Senator, have you gotten any feedback from school districts on sort of how they would feel about, not necessarily policing is the wrong word, but feeling responsible for registering firearms?
It's not registration. Let me say that first of all. It's not registration. It is saying, you know, if you are a parent and you own a gun, just let us know. It doesn't mean that we are going to, you know, report you to any state agency. It doesn't mean that at all. The school district may not even decide to act upon the information. But it is important that when we're dealing with the urban cities in our state, there are so many issues that are occurring that they need to have an additional tool in their pocket where they can establish a safe and sound environment for all students to learn. So I'm not saying in this legislation, X school district, you must follow up on this. I'm not saying that at all. If you so deem the need to follow up on any of this stuff, then you may do so the way you would like to. So I do believe in local control of the school districts, and this in no way does one. It doesn't take away anyone's firearms. Doesn't take that away. This bill does not deal with a universal background check. This bill does not say that you cannot have clips, high-capacity magazines, Bushmasters, AK-47s. It doesn't say that. It says if you have a gun, we want you to be a better constituent, a better person in this community, and keep that firearm safe from your children so that they will not harm another person.
With large Republican majorities in both chambers, is there any particular strategy that you or anyone else has devised as far as making sure that this bill gets floor time?
Well, let me just tell you this. I was quite amazed, and I'm putting it in kind words at this point, when I saw on a senator's Twitter that the gun violence issue is a federal issue, I about gasped. I was disgusted for them to say that this is a federal issue. This is a local issue, this is a state issue, and everyone is responsible. By filing this legislation and by talking about this, my hands are washed of the blood, and it's in the ownership and the power of the majority in both houses to follow up on this. So I have talked to a couple of my buddies who are big Second Amendment folks. They understand where I'm coming from. I think what they need to know and be assured of is this is not an effort to take away anyone's gun. I don't even define gun. I don't want a school to even have to know what kind of gun a parent has. It leaves it open. The other point that I really need to make to you guys, this is not new and out of the blue. First of all, there are other states that do the same thing. The failure to stop a parent, of a parent to stop a legal possession firearm, that is rule of law in Connecticut and Tennessee. That is rule of law in Michigan and Arkansas. Negligent storage of a gun, that is law in California, New Hampshire, Wisconsin, North Carolina.
Is there a disconnect that you feel between, I mean, the Republican Party, but specifically Republican leadership is largely rural and suburban, and you're talking about an issue that deals with the urban core.
Yes.
Do you feel that there is a disconnect?
Yes, absolutely. I do not want to prohibit children from going out on a Saturday or Sunday to go hunting with their parents. I am not trying to do that. I am not trying to take away the gun of anyone. I think a child having the ability to go hunting and knowing the skill set that they need to go hunting is something that most should have an opportunity to do. But I will also say that I do feel a disconnect in this national conversation. And I feel as though our communities are being ignored, frankly. There are a couple of things that I would have to compromise on. This is not, this legislation, one, is not like Representative Newman's legislation. It's not like the executive order that the president did. I think that with some work, possibly taking out the requirement of parents letting school districts know, that it would be something doable. I mean, I want my rural colleagues to know that we are just as important as their constituents. And I don't want to be ignored, and I certainly don't want my district, the good people of my district, to be ignored. But you have to understand two things. One, to understand gun violence, you must understand what poverty looks like. Number two, in order to understand gun violence, we need to understand some of the resources that we have as a state and how we're underutilizing them or not utilizing them efficiently or effectively.
Senator, you mentioned Representative Newman's legislation, which, since speaking with her, largely addresses mass shootings.
Mm-hmm.
These are not kids from the urban core that are engaging in these activities.
So you see why we feel
you're
ignored.
Talking about a one-on-one, or at least a, you know, gang violence, a small group on a small group.
Mm-hmm. There is, where's my staff?
The people that are engaging in these mass shootings are typically suburban kids who I don't think come from poverty. So I'm talking about two completely separate.
And I told you maybe twice now, I am not going to stand for my community with high density, high poverty, high unemployment to be ignored any longer. Now, I will tell you this. We have put together, my staff, my wonderful, capable staff, has put together a piece showing the differences between the president's executive order, my legislation, and Representative Newman's legislation, just so you know what the differences are. And you're all welcome to have our draft copy of this so that you can better approach this with your audiences.
Is blocking other pieces of legislation an option to bring attention to what you want done?
I hope that's not the way that we do business. You know, when I stand up for something that I believe in, it's because I believe in it and my community cares about it. My obligation to my district is to bring issues up that affect us. That is what my obligation in my job, my duty, that's what I do. If there is legislation dealing with gun violence, the NRA proposition, you better believe I'll be up all day long talking about my approach to this issue. Yes, but will I hold something that's disconnected to this issue? You know, will I hold on to that and not let it move forward? No, they're two different issues. But if anything comes up dealing with guns, you bet your bottom dollar I am going to deal with this. Absolutely. I'm not going to stand for my community to be ignored anymore.
Are you angry that because you feel like gun violence has been going on for quite some time in urban communities, and now that it's happening in this on a broader level in suburbia, that it's gaining all of this national attention?
Well, first of all, I have to tell you, what happened in Connecticut, I remember being in college, and Columbine happened, and I was distraught. And it was hurtful. I remember Virginia, I remember Aurora, I remember Georgia, I remember all of that. I mean, every person's life is valuable, but I need to ensure that one life is not more important than another life. And so in this void, in our national conversation, it is my obligation, my opportunity really, to talk about our urban cities, and that is what is important to me. I don't want us to keep moving forward and the people we represent are ignored. I mean, we represent a good portion of the state, all over the state. Why should we be ignored? It's unacceptable.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.